Galatians this morning. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. I'm going to kind of look at the last half of Galatians chapter 5. And it says in verse 13, it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, Father, again, we do thank you for the Word of God that we've read. Now, Lord, again, I pray you'd help me. And, Lord, I pray you bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is an amazing thing that many people don't understand about when it comes to dealing with the issue of spiritual things and how to deal with things spiritually. First of all, it says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty." When a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they are made free. The Bible says, "Sin shall no longer have dominion over you because you're not under the law but under grace." But it also says, what then? Shall we continue in sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In the book of Romans chapter 6. So there's a picture there. And that it's telling us that we've been called to liberty. What many people don't understand about this, and this is the thing about the Christian life, this is why the Bible tells us about Christians that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Because when I got saved, when I put my faith and trust in Christ as my Savior, He saved my soul, but the redemption of this body is not complete. Our redemption is not complete. That redemption comes later. And God makes it clear. But we're set free from the power of sin. Okay? When I got saved and put my faith in Christ's shed blood for the payment of my sins, when I believed that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead, when I honestly trusted Him as my Savior, I was delivered from the penalty of sin. You've heard me say this many times. I was delivered from the penalty of sin, but I was also delivered from the power of sin. That doesn't mean, and the Bible makes it clear, that in the world you shall endure tribulation. Those things that we're going to have, we're going to have to deal with temptation. All right? But unlike before, I now have the power to say no to sin. I now have a choice. When I was lost, I had no choice. But when I got saved, now I have a choice. I've been delivered from the penalty of sin because Christ paid that penalty. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? So I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. I've also been delivered from the power of sin. I look forward to the day when I will be delivered from the presence of sin. We look forward to heaven, right? And in heaven there is no what? No sin. No sorrow, no pain, no suffering, because all the results and all the products of sin will be gone, because there will be no sin. That's why sinners have to be saved. Because without salvation from sin, God can't take sinners to heaven. He'd just be polluting heaven, right? That's why we need salvation. So there's the whole point. So he says, you've been called unto liberty. In other words, your sins have been forgiven. You have liberty. You're no longer a slave to sin. Your salvation is sure. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All right? So we have that assurance of salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Right? So we have that surety of that. But then he tells us, he says, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In other words, just because you're free, now that you're free, don't just go ahead and live the way you always live. That's one of the biggest problems I have as a pastor. I talk to people about things. Well, preacher, I've always been like that. I understand that. But that doesn't mean that because you've always been like that, you have to stay that way. You know, a lot of times people, when I preach the Word of God, people get upset about something I preach. If I say something sin, and they say, well, I thought God accepts people the way they are. He does. But he doesn't intend for you to stay that way. You see what I'm trying to say here? And we have a large part of the choice in that. He says, use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. In other words, don't just live the same way you've always lived. Live differently. Different motivations. You're either going to yield yourself to the flesh, or you're going to yield yourself to the Spirit of God. You're either going to just live your life responding the way you always have, or you can choose to learn to understand when the Spirit of God is speaking to you and say yes to God. That's what he's talking about here. So he says, but if you bite and devour one another, he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All right? In the book of Romans, it tells us that love worketh no ill toward his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love for, and what is the great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And then the second is like unto it, that namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the point being is, that's the focus of what we would call the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Doesn't matter, don't do unto them the way. I remember when I was growing up, they always thought it was a funny thing. They said, do unto others, then split. Anybody ever see that old saying? I don't know if any of y'all saw it, but that's what they thought that was funny. But that really isn't funny. It's really wicked. No, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not based upon what they do, based upon what would be right. And we determine right not based upon our own opinions, but upon the Word of God. And so there's what we look at. And he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that is extremely important. When I got saved, the Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 1:12, it says, after that I believed, I was sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, God's Spirit came to dwell in me. And the Bible says that's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, to the completion of our salvation, the redemption of the body. We're told we're going to have a new body fashioned like unto His glorious body, right? So there's the picture that we have there, and there's what the Scripture says. And it says that since we have the Spirit dwelling in us, since He abides with us and in us, like Jesus said in John chapter 15-16, when He told us about the Holy Spirit being the comforter that would come, and He would be with us always, and He would abide in us, He said, now walk in the Spirit. All right? He says that, and I want to skip over those verses. I'll come back to them in a minute. But He says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, this is the point. He says, walk in the Spirit, and ye will not. He said, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? He said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. There's a difference between the two. See, I could spend a long time talking about the Spirit of God and what happens during salvation. The Bible says in the book of Romans also that He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're made partakers of the divine nature, the Bible says in the book of Peter. We, with the indwelling of God's Spirit, we actually become His children. That's the wondrous thing about salvation. God just doesn't forgive us of our sins and make us servants, but He actually adopts us as His children. That's an amazing thing to me when I think about that. God doesn't even say that about the angels in that regard. But the simple fact is, we look at the Scriptures and we see this, and we look at all the things that He talks about, and He says, basically, we live in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is our life. That's the earnest of our inheritance. That it's the indwelling of the Spirit that assures me of eternal life. And the Bible says the Spirit bears witness that we're the sons of God, the children of God. So we look at all of that. We live, if you are saved today. Now, if you're not saved, you know, this doesn't apply to you. You don't have any choice but to walk in the flesh. By the way, you can be religious and still not be saved. Hello? You know, one of the sins that doesn't get preached on very often, unless it's by people accusing Christians of being hypocrites, is the sin of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is a sin, is it not? I don't have any righteousnesses of my own. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing I can do to save myself. There's nothing I can do to justify myself before God. I'm a sinner. That's why I needed a Savior. But when God saved me, now I have liberty and I can choose to walk in the Spirit. He says, to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as we look at our lives, there's the picture on one side or the other. We are either, you know, when you go in there and you look at the book of here in Galatians and in 1 Corinthians, where they're told that they're carnal. In other words, they're not walking according to the Spirit, they're walking according to the flesh. They're walking in that regard. They're walking based upon the lust of the flesh. and everything is. And by the way, here's a way that you can tell whether or not you're walking in the flesh, or at least a good guideline. If everything that you do and every action that you do is based upon you and the outcome to you and how it affects you, that's a pretty good, you treat people because of what they've done, however they did, are because of what they've done to you or yours. That's a pretty good job idea that if you live that way. I'm not saying we don't feel with those ways and deal with those things, but how we deal with something. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything, isn't there? You know, we could talk about children, child rearing. You know, Christian child rearing, very important thing. All right? But there's a right way to discipline children and a wrong way to discipline children. Be angry and sin not. I mean, I could spend a long time talking about what the Bible says about. I mean, you may still give a child a whooping, but your attitude of heart. A lot of the child abuse that we have today is because children are undisciplined, and then people don't know how to deal with it properly, and they snap and they go overboard. That's what happens. You know, we could look at that, but that's what happens a lot of times. You know, people get mad and they discipline a child because they're angry at the child because the child embarrassed them or whatever, and it's out of anger rather than discipline the child for the sake of the child, to try to correct the child. The idea is to train and teach. That doesn't mean you won't get a whooping if it's necessary. But the motivation behind it will be different, and then it'll be measured. It'll be moderated by the Spirit of God. So I mean, we could talk about that. We could talk about all types of different things about walking in the Spirit. We could spend a lot of time. That's just one example. But if everything is about you and not about your relationship with the Lord, then we have a problem. He says, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're saying yes to the Spirit of God and you're living based upon what the Spirit of God is teaching you through the Word of God, and you're saying yes to God in every area of your life, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But contrarywise, it says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, if you yield yourself to the flesh, if you respond basically by the flesh, by your feelings, how you feel about something, you respond not based upon truth and right, but you just on how you feel, you're going to have trouble. Because you're going to live your life according to the flesh. And you won't be able to accomplish what you say you would want to accomplish. I don't know a Christian that says they want to live in sin. But I know a lot of Christians, professing Christians, that are living in sin. And why? Most of the time it has to do with they're slaves to their feelings. They don't live by truth. They live by how I feel. They live by the flesh. They're carnal. They haven't understood this. And then he tells us what the works of the flesh are. He said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All right? Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is precisely why Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, to deliver us from these things. And without salvation, we have no hope of heaven. And we look at all of these things that are talked about. And you know, the sad thing on this list is we've got many Christians who spend their time trying to parse what these things mean. You ought to take, I'm not going to take the time. Some of these things are pretty well self-explanatory, and some of these things may be words you don't use a lot, and you say, well, I need to look that up. What does that mean? And I encourage you to do that. And I've gone here before, and I've sat down, and we walked through them and defined them all. I'm not going to do that this morning. But I want you to understand something. We need to see things the right way. We need to see things a biblical way. And, you know, it's kind of amazing how we like to parse. And this is because this is the flesh. This is the way the flesh works. All right? We like to parse what these sins are. If I were to ask you the question, how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? How many would say? How many lies you got to tell? Just one? All right. Most people would agree with that. Well, tell one lie, you're a liar. All right. Now, if I were to say, how many times you got to be drunk to be a drunkard? Well, I'm not a habitual drunkard. I don't get drunk all the time. But you're still a drunkard. I mean, I was lost. And when I was lost, I held down a job. I worked hard. But I sure did cause a lot of trouble by being drunk from time to time. Never anything good came out of it. I was a drunkard. I've got no cause to be a drunkard anymore. Because that's the work of the flesh. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? So that's what he talks about. He says, notice he says, the works of the flesh are, plural, right? And then he changes it up. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He didn't say the fruit of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit are. He said the fruit of the Spirit is. In other words, this is what the Spirit of God works out in us when we say yes to God. This is what He brings out in us. This is the work of God's Spirit within us. This is something that God does. And this is something that we learn and grow in, just like the Bible says we're babes and we're told to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So think about that. We've got that picture there that this is what we're supposed to do. This is to be the focus of our life, to yield ourselves to the Spirit, to say yes to the Spirit of God, to learn to hear and understand when the Spirit of God is speaking. And he says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Notice it's not just the lust, the desires. Sometimes it's the affections, the things we like. By the way, one of the works of the flesh is what? Idolatry. What is idolatry but putting anything before God? We've got a lot of folks in, put the, especially in this charged up culture that we have with all the political garbage going on, a lot of people are putting politicians above the Lord, the relationship with the Lord. That's foolish. We ought to be engaged and we ought to try to influence the world for righteousness to every amount we possibly can. We ought to stand, but be careful. Because our allegiance is not to a political party, it's to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. So the simple fact is, when we look at the Word of God, when we look at this, we see that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you live by the Spirit of God dwelling in you, if you live, if that is your life, if that is your lifeline to heaven, if that is what is the assurance and surety of your salvation, that God's Spirit dwells in you, and you're a child of God, it just makes sense that you should not just live in the Spirit, not just get your life from the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit. To make it part of your life. To say yes to God. To simply yield yourself. We're to yield ourselves to righteousness as those that are alive from the dead. The picture is like when we baptize somebody. When we get up there and we baptize somebody. Baptism doesn't save your soul. But what is it? It's a picture of Christ's death and burial and resurrection, right? He died unto sin once. He rose from the dead incorruptible. And the picture is that we died in Christ and buried, and now we're raised to walk in what? Newness of life. There's the picture. There's the reality. There's the truth. So here's the thing that I want you to see this morning. In this day and age, especially as we start a new year, 2021, I hope when you how long is it going to be? You're going to be sitting there putting 2020 down on everything in the world that you write, and we're going to get adjusted to being in a new year. We need to realize that if God gives us a full year, His coming is closer than it was last year. You know, there's two things I know that are 100% certainly closer now that we are here on January 3rd, 2021, than it was on December 31st, 2020. Either the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ or the day when I will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Either my physical death or the coming of the Lord. And I don't know when neither one of them is coming. But one thing I do know, Brother Larry, I know they're closer than they were. So how should I live? I mean, we ought to at least have enough sense to be like the little kids who were told to get something done, right? That mom and daddy are going away, and that we're going to be back at a certain time, and here's the list of chores, here's the list of things I want you to do. And the little children run around and they play and they play and they play, and then they sit there and they look at the clock and they find out here it is, mom and daddy are going to be home in 20 minutes and we ain't started anything yet. And boy, there's a whirlwind of activity, isn't there? Why? Because there's an accounting. Well, you would think that every year that we get from the Lord, we'd get busier, not less busy. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Think about that. So we ought not be less busy. We ought not be winding down when it comes to living for God. We ought to be ramping up. We ought to be getting after it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break before the morning preaching. Father, we do thank you for your love and your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that we read. Father, help us to take it to heart. Lord, it's so good to know that we have liberty and we have freedom and we have a choice and we can reach out and our lives can change, and that you that have begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until his return. You continue your work. So Lord, help us to work with you and help us to yield ourselves to you. Lord, help us to learn to walk, not just live in the Spirit, but to walk in the Spirit. Lord, help us to use our liberty for what it was intended for. Lord, we just thank you that we're free, and thank you that there is victory over sin. Lord, we thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.